Some medical conditions get so well known we only need initials to identify them. Think ALS and HIV, and add to that list MS or multiple sclerosis. Millions of people around the world live with the condition, and efforts continue to find more effective treatments for MS and maybe even a cure if all goes well. The fight against MS gets a boost in the region with Walk MS this weekend. Augie Garrett is the marketing director for the National Multiple Sclerosis Society's Oregon chapter and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Augie, welcome.
Good morning, Jeff. Nice to be here.
For the folks who don't know MS that well, can you give us just a little thumbnail sketch of what it is and who it affects?
Absolutely. It affects, interestingly enough, mostly women, but it's not definitely not it affects everybody, but primarily women. And it is a disease that affects the neurological system. Just so you know, my mom had it. She lived with MS for 34 years, and it can affect everybody in different ways. So, for example, people could have symptoms of numbness, tingling, double vision. They could lose loss of balance. In my mom's case, she had primary progressive MS, which meant that she had the most advanced form of it, and she went from a fully functioning person to somebody who lost her ability to walk. She lost her ability to talk mostly. And by probably the last 15 years of her life or so, she was completely bedridden and only could use her right hand. So, again, that was a time when there were no therapies or treatments. And fortunately today, there are so many now that help stop the progress of the disease, that people can be pretty functional now. So it's amazing. Does that help?
It does. It does. And that's one thing I've noticed over the course of my life is that it seems like people with MS lead much more active lives than they used to.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, because of the treatments and the you know, the National MS Society, the research that has been funded through things like Walk MS, people are able to live more fully full lives.
How many people are affected? I was reading something yesterday about the fact that we have a basic idea of how many people around the world, but there are not great figures kept in the United States.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you the exact number here. I can tell you in Southwest Washington and Oregon, there are about 7,800 people, but that is only the people who are actually reported in, because we're not allowed to get that data proactively. People have to report it in, so it could be double that.
So it's a voluntary reporting system?
Yeah.
And why is that? It's not that way for other diseases, is it?
I'm not sure. I know it's probably a privacy issue, and if somebody goes into the neurologist, for example, and you say, yes, you can report it into the database, that's fine, but a lot of people don't. And a lot of people, of course, don't know they have MS because, you know, like a lot of diseases, people may not recognize the symptoms and or deny them, and they go undiagnosed.
And what are some of the symptoms, and how often, how long tends to be the gap between onset of or recognition of symptoms and actual diagnosis?
It could be quite a while. For example, my mother, she started having symptoms when she was a teenager. And the common symptoms can be, again, numbness, tingling of the fingers, maybe a short paralysis, similar to a stroke per se, that could last anywhere from, you know, a few hours to months. So those are some double vision, maybe a sudden change in your ability to speak. And again, the time between diagnosis and the symptoms can range, you know, anywhere from like one person I know who was lives in Corvallis. She was diagnosed within like a month because she had an acute onset, which is unusual. But most people, it's probably, you know, anywhere from a couple years to, like, in my case, my mom, you know, 25 or 30.
Right. Okay, long time then.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe the reason it's not required to be reported is because it's not communicable, is it?
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. And is it genetic? Do we really know the source of MS?
Still up in the air. There are more and more cases of people who are diagnosed who are family members, but it's still not absolutely certain.
And all right, so we're talking again to Augie Garrett, who's with the National Multiple Sclerosis Society Oregon chapter. We're talking about multiple sclerosis generally and about the MS, Walk MS, coming up this weekend. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 and 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Is the paralysis part of things still common, or is that much less common with MS patients in this day and age?
I would say it's less common only because of the treatments are so advanced now.
And what kinds of treatments and medications are available?
Oh, my gosh. Well, there are, I think, 10 to 13. I am not super familiar with the medical part of it, only because my focus is really on events and marketing. What I do know is that the therapies that are out there, they are designed to stop the progression. I was just having a conversation with one of my friends the other day who has MS, and she had started to experience some issues with movement. Basically, oftentimes, again, it starts, with your ability to walk. And by taking this, it's some kind of infusion that she does once a month in the hospital, she has been able to restore her functionality almost 100%.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
So definitely things have come along for people with MS. Let's talk about Walk MS, though, because you mentioned that you're bigger on events. So how widespread is the Walk MS event?
In terms of, the whole country?
Yeah. I mean, how many different communities are holding it, particularly in our region?
Well, we have 9 different sites here in Oregon and Southwest Washington. So we have Portland, Corvallis, Salem, Central Point and Merrill, Heppner, Ben, Eugene, and Vancouver.
All right. So Central Point, Merrill, and Eugene, certainly for the listeners of this program. And what goes on at Walk MS?
Well, it's a celebration, really, of people who have MS and, a way to raise funds and awareness around the disease. So people show up around 9 o'clock, for those of you in Central Point, actually all those sites, and there are vendors there. There's free goodies. There's foods and coffee, and there's music usually. There's a speaker at each event who talks about their own connection to MS and the reasons that people should give. And then there's a start, like most walks, and people walk around for about 45 minutes. It's a 5K route.
It's a 5K. Okay, I was going to ask you how far
it's
5K.
Yeah, it's a 5K. And I know in Central Point, I've not been to that one in particular, but I know we were told that you can see the mountains to both east and west, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of people who come out who are passionate about the cause, and most people have a direct connection somehow, whether it's a family member or a friend or a coworker. So, everybody puts on their orange. That's the color of the MS Society. And they rally, and then they get back to the finish line. And if the weather's nice, people hang out and talk. And, we have a representative from our society at each of the events, and they can learn more about MS and, again, what we're up to and how we can help you, if you're living with MS, to live a better life.
Well, the weather might be nice. I can see at the Central Point event there's a slight chance of rain with increasing clouds. For the Klamath Basin, though, partly sunny. Hey, Eugene, yeah, mostly cloudy and a chance of rain. Looks like at least 2 of the 3 will be rather damp. any idea what the number of participants are you're looking for?
For example, I only know Central Point off the top of my head right now, but I believe that's around 150. And I would say, you said Eugene?
Yes.
I think Eugene's around 300, and what was the other one?
Merrill.
Merrill. I believe Merrill's pretty small. I think that's around 60, I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's one of the suburbs of Klamath Falls.
Yeah.
It's not a huge community, but obviously lots of dedicated people. Is it hard, particularly for somebody like yourself in the marketing portion of things, to get the word out about the work you're trying to do with this particular disease when there are so many other diseases and often so many other walks?
You said, is it hard?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of competition. There's a lot of, a lot of different, I think, voices trying to get people's attention. And also, we're in a time where people have, I think, a challenge figuring out, well, with so many different charities and so many different world events, that happen, like a disaster, where should I put my money? And because of that, and because of the nature of social media as well, and how fast people spread the word about different things, it can be very difficult for a person to decide. Plus, in general, right now, the amount of people who are donating, the number of dollars that people have been donating recently has come down quite a bit. So I guess in part it's probably, again, because of the combination of all the different ways in which people can donate to different causes. but also, you know, with the economy still kind of on an uptick, I think people are really cautious about how they spend money.
You know, I was going to ask about how things trended through the recession. I did notice, particularly in Southern Oregon, some satellite offices of some nonprofits were closing up. They just weren't having regional offices anymore. And I have to believe that, that at least part of the amount of money you say coming down has to do with the recession.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that totally makes sense. Luckily, in our chapter, we're one of the few who have, you know, we've been relatively flat, which we're fortunate for. You know, in comparison to some of the other chapters around the country, some of our events have actually been outperforming what they have done historically. So could that be marketing? I don't know. My hope is that the people who really care about, you know, those who live with MS are working harder to raise money. And more importantly, I think it's the accessibility to people who, with greater reach, to raise funds. For example, just this weekend, I had not raised a dime for Walk MS. And after our Portland walk, I came home, and in about 5 hours on Facebook, and I'm meaning I spent about an hour of that 5 hours, I raised over $500 from people who I hadn't seen in 30 years.
Really?
Yeah. So I think that with social media, things like Facebook is such a great way to, if you put your message out there and say, my mom has MS, and a lot of people know that story, honor her, memory with me by making a donation of whatever amount. I put in $50, will you match me? And by doing that, people come out of the woodwork who you never would thought in your life they wouldn't even know, quite frankly, right, without a tool like Facebook. So that is something I think that has changed the game significantly for all nonprofits, and I have especially seen it here at our chapter.
Augie Garrett, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange with the Oregon chapter of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. We're talking about Walk MS this weekend, tomorrow at 9 o'clock. It'll be in Central Point, one in Merrill and one in Eugene as well. Which raises the question then, when we talk about social media, is whether at some point if the cyber fundraising catches on so much, I mean, so many things being done online with money, Kickstarter, et cetera, at some point do you really have diminishing returns for doing things like public gatherings, like walks? Could it be done all online?
Well, that's a good question. I think, the benefit of having a live event is you get to see the real people, right, who were affected by the disease. And that's really powerful and sort of that unified front that you only get by direct human connection. I would hope that we would continue to do events like this, though I do see the benefit in supplementing it with online contributions like that.
Do you have some real in-demand spokespeople for MS, people living with MS in Oregon who are in demand as speakers for events like the walks?
I wouldn't necessarily say so in Oregon here. I was recently in Utah, and you're familiar with the Osmond family, probably.
Yes, just a little.
Yeah, and I think it's David who was, Alan. Alan Osmond, the brother of Donnie, has MS. And his son David also, and David actually is a spokesperson for the National MS Society, who I got to work with one day. So people like that, yes. Should there be more? Absolutely. We have some really great folks here, I know, in our Vancouver and our Portland chapter, who always come out and they speak at our events.
Where does the money go, I suppose, is what a lot of people are going to want to know, is if they decide to come out for a Walk MS or stomp all over MS, and we'll ask you about the wording in just a moment. Where does the money go?
That's a good question, too. So 78 cents on the dollar goes towards research and programs and services. And so the research is an obvious one. But I think a thing people commonly don't know is how we actually impact people directly who live in Oregon with these funds. So, for example, if you have MS, here's something recently happened. A person needed help with a one of their favorite places to go was the local coffee shop. And at some point, she became so unable to move that her regular wheelchair was not helping her, and she couldn't afford a powered wheelchair. So she called one of our programs and services people, and they were able to arrange some funding for that. We don't normally purchase the entire thing. We're not allowed to do that, but we can help supplement that and work with your insurance provider. And she was able to go back to the coffee shop and be with her friends who were down there. We also provide college scholarships, physical therapy, various kinds of counseling services. We, you know, fund support groups, a variety of things that, again, affect people who, you know, live right there. And actually people who maybe they lost their job because they were unable to work anymore because of the disease. And we'll even help pay for things like rent. So it's not just research, which is obviously the ultimate thing is to find a cure, but it's the day-to-day things that we take for granted.
I noticed that the tagline for the Walk MS this year in Oregon anyway is Stomp All Over MS. is there a physical manifestation of this?
Yeah, a physical manifestation?
Yeah, I mean, is there something that people are actually stomping on at the MS Walk?
Oh, no. It wasn't. Actually, it kind of came by accident. We designed this little monster called Norman.
Uh-huh.
And Norman, who will be at some of the events, his tagline is Me Stomp MS. Yeah, that's where it came from.
All right, MS Walk at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning at Central Point, Merrill and Eugene. Augie Garrett is with the Oregon chapter of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. Augie, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Best of luck. That'll do it for this hour of The Exchange. Hour 2 coming up, you'll meet or re-meet Swami Beyondananda in the person of Steve Behrman. That's next.